Welcome back to another episode of Aussie Cinema Talk with me, Tim.
And me, Dom. Yes, this is the age of the COVID-19 Wuhan crisis. The sound quality is a little poorer, but that's never stopped us broadcasting before, has it, Tim?
No, that's actually what got us off the ground. That's what started us.
Before we get into anything, we've got a lot of catching up to do. Congratulations, first of all. You're an honest man now, married.
I got married, yeah. It was a great wedding. Friday the 13th, you remember that?
Yeah, Steve Buscemi's birthday.
Yeah. And then we went on a honeymoon. We planned for 2 months in the UK, and we got one good week out of it before the lockdown.
And tell the listeners what happened, man.
Yeah, so we the pub started closing everywhere. We were in Edinburgh at the time. I thought, this is a bit, oh, what a bummer. And we hadn't been watching the news or anything, so we didn't know what was really going on. And as we tried to get home, 3 failed flights later, we bunkered down in Manchester for a week, did the isolation thing in Manchester, and then flew back to Sydney and did quarantine.
Quarantine for, was it 2 weeks? 2 weeks in the hotel?
Yeah.
And how is that playing on your mental health, your mental state of being?
Man, we got pretty paranoid by the end of it. Like, we thought, you know, the hotel was controlling the temperature. There was no sunlight. We thought, like, they're making us sick. What is this? We're going to come out looking like shit. And they're going to go, see, there was a reason we kept them in.
But you feel fine.
But, no, it was all good. And we got plenty of care packages and stuff, bottles of wine and stuff like that to keep us going. So, yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good to hear.
What have you been up to?
Oh, dude, I'm
out and about. Or?
Well, I'm still going to work. Like you, we're two of the lucky Australians that still have jobs. So I'm still going into work. And, you know, it's not too bad. Very stripped back. Unfortunately, all the casuals were sacked. Like, that seems to be happening everywhere in the world. But at least, you know, at least I've got somewhere to go, something to dress up for in the mornings rather than, you know, getting too stuck in my head. Although today I spent a big, exactly, great deal of it just out on the back patio, on the hammock. Pretty nice.
Beautiful, beautiful. Nice. Well, that sort of rolls into a bit of the movie that we're going to talk about tonight.
Yeah, a little bit chilling.
Been a bit of a slog.
We're doing Takeaway from the year 2003.
It was 2003.
2003. It felt very 90s though, would you agree?
Yeah, totally. I thought it was. And then I'm like, no, I saw this in high school. It's got to be
early 2000s. Had you already seen it?
Yeah, not only haven't I seen it, but it was in my DVD collection too. And it was not a gift. So I purchased it myself.
$6.98 from the... Was it $6.98 from the JB throw-out bin?
Not even that. I think I like bought it after it was like good time. So I remember seeing it in the cinema and going,
oh, no, you saw it at the cinema as well.
Yeah. But after watching this again, just to sort of catch up, I was like, I wasn't laughing, man.
Yeah. It's the laughs were few and far between, which is really sad considering we've got quite a good lineup of folk in this, right? So the writers, straight away, comedy genius Dave O'Neill, every Australian's favourite Dave O'Neill.
Funny bloke.
Very funny bloke. He's worked on Full Frontal, Eric Banner Show, You're Skitting Me, Skit House, you know, all that sort of, the skit shows, all those skit
plenty
shows.
Other movies, like The Nugget. He's in The Nugget.
He's in that too, isn't he?
Yeah, it was Stephen Curry. What else? I don't know. You see him pop up everywhere.
He's in this too. He plays Mal the Butcher that is between the two takeaway shops. The other writer, Mark O'Toole, he wrote a lot of stuff for John Safran, Double Take, TV Burp, whatever the hell that is.
What the hell?
Adam Hill
show. We'll have to go looking for that.
Spicks and Specks. I know, we need to find TV Burp. It sounds like it's our kind of thing.
Mark O'Toole was in this movie too.
Who played
one of the burnout stoner dudes.
Oh, was he the fat one that looked like Mick Malloy or the ginger?
I believe he was credited. He was credited as like a waster.
Yeah, I think
that seemed like a very 90s word.
Yeah, waster.
A waster.
And it also a very 90s joke when he's revealed puffing on the joint and he sees something spectacular and then takes a double take at his joint. Like, he's like, ooh, had too much of this.
Dude.
It's like, yeah, cool.
Totally had that
pot
written
makes,
down.
Pot as an makes you hallucinate. The yeah. other waster,
oh,
though,
man,
was...
must be the stuff.
Yeah. The other waster was Shane Jacobson's brother, I think. Remember Kenny?
Oh, yeah, Kenny. Early Kenny, too. He just sort of popped up out of nowhere. If you hadn't been paying attention, came out of nowhere.
Kenny
with Kenny
was fucking huge. That was a monumental success. Although I do seem to remember him saying to somebody that he didn't make very much money out of it, because I think it all went to distributors and advertising and all that sort of stuff. And he was at the end left with, you know, the beginnings of a very good career, but he didn't make much money off a huge movie like that.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah,
it had like a really good, honest quality to it, you know, really like Aussie and stuff, which is kind of like this movie takeaway. Let's get into it, man. It's a movie about these two rival takeaway guys on the same block.
Yeah.
And it's got like the true recipe for a good sort of Aussie heart.
Absolutely. Great set. Great location, I should say, for those two shops, you know, those little sort of, you know, I've got one here. Those little blocks, they're like a kind of remnants of a little village where they've got high street shops and the takeaways and the rivalries that happen there.
That, yeah, the really authentic sort of takeaway shops you grow up with Chico Roll posters in there.
Oh, I love that Chico Roll poster.
It starts with Ye Old Times.
I forgot about this.
The invention of the takeaway.
And we get Francis Greenslade.
Yeah. There you go. From Mad as Hell or Sean Bacala Show fame. He's the dude behind the counter. And some guy comes in, but the inn is full. And so the guy's like, wrap it up in some newspaper for me. He's like, you'd like to take it away? And so he takes it away for the very first time. It eats a dim sim, thinks it's a rat, but it probably is a mouse or something.
Topical for the COVID outbreak. For a little fried dim sim rat thing.
Doesn't he even say, he goes, oh, no, it's a delicacy from the East. Yeah. And then it cuts to these two Chinese people decked out like sort of Arnie Jack style racist Chinese.
Yeah, full gold, the gold hunter.
Get up.
Yeah. With the little square, the little rectangle, triangle hat and everything.
Then it fast forwards to the present day, and you've got the double sequence of the two takeaway dudes, Vince Colosimo and Stephen Curry, getting up in the morning to like a cool, again, it seems like a 90s kind of.
Such a 90s style of filmmaking, like the way that they have the Stephen Curry, he's getting up to some like kind of pub rock music, and then Vince Colosimo is getting up to some heaps cool like 90s techno, you know, and he's like the smooth.
And he's totally neat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Stephen Curry's waking
Steve
up.
Stephen Curry gets it. His bed sheets are Vegemite bed sheets.
Love that. And he's, of course, this is why we're drinking. VB. Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
Yeah, he's got VB long necks all through the house.
Everywhere, scattered everywhere. And, attention to detail, too.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it later.
Great. Yeah, no, great set design in this, I think. I appreciated it a lot. Yeah, a lot of detail, especially in his takeaway shop, in Trev's takeaway shop. The wood paneling, you know, the 70s lino.
Reminds
top.
Us.
Yeah. The Wombi Whopper.
Mate, you know it. You've seen it. The Wombi Whopper. Exactly.
Actually, I might have to bleep that out, actually, under recent unfoldings. There is a potential.
No, I reckon, don't unbleep it. We're not advertising. Let's just say it's not what it used to be back in the day.
It has been kissed by scandal, a takeaway shop that we know.
Yep.
Very well, and the burgers were good from my last memory. I mean, it was probably 10 years ago since I went there for some fish and chips, but fucking hell, nowadays.
Chico Roll.
Let's just say don't go in there if you're under 15 without a parent.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So, yeah, we've got Trevor at one end and we've got Tony down the other end. Tony's with Colossimo.
Tony.
He is so good, man. Like, he's such a fucking good actor.
So, man, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Like, this movie sort of, like, dragged along. As I said, I was not really laughing. And there's jokes and stuff, but it's, like, it's kind of like comedian jokes that there's a setup and there's a story to it. And you're just sort of, like, you're sitting there for a while just, like, you know. But Vince Colosimo in this movie, what a gem.
He gets it.
Every time he came on, he was, like, so interesting, so laughable.
I think the thing is that he played it straight the whole time, whereas the other guys were kind of going for a bit more of a comedic performance, where I think it would have been funny on its own if everyone played it dead straight. But I think Stephen Curry was trying a little bit too hard to lean into the Aussie Bogan thing. And I think also there's another character in this we'll get to later. Brett Swain plays him. He's a great actor. I've been in a million things, but you probably know him from Sea Change. He's Griff in Sea Change. And in this, he's the tow truck driver. And I was like, he should be...
Placed Kev, yeah.
Yeah, he should be playing the Trev character.
Yeah, Trev's takeaway. Definitely. It would have been more, because you've got to be a bit more gruff. Like, that, to sort of make it believable, Stephen Curry can't be, like, that much of a slob, you know, and have his burgers be revered. And, like, your burgers are good, mate. And he's like, just follow this recipe up on the wall. And then you go, so Sonia Rose Byrne, she comes in.
Looking fantastic.
Not only the... Again, 90s, like you sort of know from the 90s, Rose Byrne, Two Hands,
all
that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
She's the cousin of Tony, and she comes on as a trainee manager. And you find out that Steve Curry, Trev, let's call him Trev. they used to all grow up together, but they've got some sort of like rivalry going.
Yeah, there's some sort of bad blood between all of them. But they know each other pretty well. So immediately Trev is like, oh, he's got an assistant manager. I've got to get one. So he goes straight down to the dole queue at Centrelink.
It's the Centrelink,
And gets Nathan Phillips, who, while I was waiting for you to join the Zoom, I was having a look. He was Teabag on Neighbours. Do you remember that character?
Teabag. Yes. I don't remember him being Teabag, though.
Yeah, that was him, apparently.
Far out.
But, of course, we know him better from he was in Wolf Creek.
That's it. Took the two girls out to the scrubs.
For a weekend, I'd never forget.
Took them out. Talking about it, Wolf Creek, we were thinking about doing a movie by the same director as Wolf Creek, Rogue. Which also has Stephen Curry in it. Yeah. They thought we need a guy that can sort of make us laugh in between all that sort of stuff. And, boy, did he have to try.
See, I picked this movie because I'd never seen it before. And I'd seen Rogue and I vaguely remember enjoying it.
I'm so sorry.
No, it was good. It's filled in a little blank in my, cinema knowledge, I guess.
You're like, oh, that's like Vince Colosimo must have obviously got his chops from somewhere, you know?
Vince Colosimo should be as big as Anthony LaPaglia. He should have had a bigger crack in America, I reckon, like his own show. Yeah, not just Underbelly.
Nah, he's built for more. He can do more. Dave meets Sonia. So Dave, the guy from Centrelink, meets Rose Byrne and... they went to school together. She was a smart one at school. Trev's, like, you find out all the way through this movie how much of an idiot this Dave guy is.
Yeah, Trev's a massive loser. And, Dave, Nathan, is it Nathan Phillips' character is Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's didn't they call him the Spew? You find out that his high school nickname was the Spew because he spewed on a principal.
I had a really weak stomach. Yeah. Trev, he's got a sick one of those sick Alice Springs t-shirts on.
Oh, yeah, with the cartoon of the drunk Bogan. That? Yes.
Yeah, with those little, like, tight sleeves sort of.
Yeah, it's like a Bonds undershirt.
Those shirts. Yeah, that canary yellow colour. Gotta love
you don't
those.
See them much anymore.
No, only in good old tuck shops.
Well, I guess we should take this moment to talk about both of us have kind of had experience working in those kind of areas, because I worked in a butcher at like a little row of shops on a street like
that's this, right,
and you worked in a fish and chip
right
shop
near Wombie Whopper.
Can you attest to this film, like its accuracy? Any kind of rivalries to speak of? I mean, you were probably the only fish and chip shop on your block.
Yeah. This had a lot of research, Dom. This movie, from the flour to the batter to the fryer, there was not a thing out of place. And even the apprentice, like the idea of every fish shop having like a trainee manager that will one day possibly like just take over.
Right.
I experienced it in my fish shop where there was this guy, he was sort of like the guy that worked there all the time, but not the owner. And then when the owners like sold the business and stuff, he went off and started his own business, and I went and worked for him. And then I was like, sort of like, oh, I got to get out of here, man. Could be the protege.
You might be the next fish slinger.
The new Munger. Yeah, everything was on point.
Well, that's good to know. I do have a feeling that either Dave O'Neill or Mark O'Toole, one of them has to have worked in a situation like that. It felt very, very much a part of their DNA.
Totally. And again, like this movie could have been so much more like epic or sort of heartfelt, like, yeah, get the business back and like all that, kind of like the castle vibe, but didn't get there. I think a lot of Aussies were sort of like trying to use the castle formula in different ways and stuff. And I was like,
right.
There was not enough creativity. It's like, come on, guys. Like, you know, you have a good thing here. Like, the fish shop is a good place to set something.
It's kind of, it kind of gets a little bit too, like, zany, a little bit too skit house, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. Bit out there, except for Vince Colosimo, man.
He's playing the
you
movie.
You want to go back to like authenticity again? Him packing the shelves and telling Sonia about the rotation, where you always grab from the back and then put it at the front row. That was the thing we did in the fish shop too. It's called rotation or whatever. And he's like, drink rotation. So everybody gets a cold drink. That's spot on, man. That's a fish shop thing.
Yeah, Vince Colosimo is in the movie that we wanted to see, where the rest of this cast is sort of like they're doing their skit house stuff.
You know, being all skittish. Leaving skit marks everywhere, all over the film.
I can't believe there wasn't a skit show called Skit Marks.
Man, we got Gogglebox, but we ain't got no skit marks. Come on.
In desperate need of skit marks. Dave O'Neill, get him up, sharpen the pencil.
Bring it on.
So the kind of conflict in this movie is that there's a McDonald's type restaurant called, is it Benny Burgers or Burgies or something?
Just Burgies.
And they're going to open up at the end of this row of shops, which is kind of weird business. But anyway.
The block right next to them.
Yeah, they're about
to. I've seen it happening. Yeah.
Oh, really?
You've seen it happen?
Yeah. I don't want to give too much location away, but you're down on the peninsula there, mate. There's plenty of that happening where you've got like the little boutique shops and then you just slam those like the big ones in.
The big three.
And then it's just all like, yeah. And now with the ferries ain't running.
Yeah.
You've got no ferries coming from Sydney, so it's drying up.
And big, Bogans love them because they're open late as well. So they're just going to hang out there, you know, just trash the joint.
Yeah. Scummy.
So, yeah, we got.
So the Burgies, it's opening up. That's Burgies. The conflict, yeah. They're like, what are we going to do?
And, yeah, they run through a bit of exposition about, you know, like, oh, you know, the Burgies is opening, it's going to ruin both of our businesses, that sort of stuff. They have a bit of a fight, and then they go into Vince Colosimo's restaurant, and we see a photo on the back wall of his dad, but he's with someone else. So we get the picture that maybe, is it, could be, almost definitely is, yes it is, not too long later. We at the end of the movie, they try to do a big reveal, but it's like, yeah, we guessed it all the way back then.
Yeah, come
it's
on.
Trev's and Tony's dads were mates. And then they separated, and that's what caused this rivalry that we're seeing. And there's a town hall meeting where all the
community meeting.
Where they've got, it's basically full of plants. It's all rigged up. So anyone that's like a fan of this Macca's type restaurant, there's like little kids there going, what are you going to do for the orphans? And they're like, oh, don't worry. We've got a Ronald McDonald house set up for that.
That's right. I'm glad you asked, little kid, because we actually donate to those charities and stuff like that. And they're like, oh, my God, what a setup. There's such a low-budget, like, community meeting, too. And do you remember the Burgies guy? There's the manager, and then he's got a protege, too.
Ah, yes.
He's got, like, a little trainee manager.
Yeah.
And he goes, all right, Gimp, we got work to do.
Did he call him Gimp? I missed that.
Calls him a Gimp. All right, Gimp, we got work to do.
I totally missed that. See, these guys are very much a Skid House character. They're too over the top, you know? It's like, it's too zany. And then you've got, like, Vince and Trev, like, kind of playing it somewhere else. They're playing a totally different movie. And then you've got, yeah, these wild characters that could have just come out of a Sean McAuliffe sketch.
But see, Kev's pretty genuine, too, the tow truck driver. He's doing all right as well.
He's great. He's fantastic, that guy. I'd love him to play. I wish he was playing the Trev character. It just would have been so much stronger.
They do a letter drop to a music montage.
Yeah, music montage. The Mavises. I'll take this moment to spruik anyone interested on Spotify. Me and Tim have been putting together a playlist of mostly Aussie songs that have popped up in the movies we've covered. So there's I've put that song in there from the Mavises. But yeah, geez, man, I haven't heard that for fucking ages. That's the 90s as hell.
Yeah. There's also a bunch of songs from Mushroom Records, including one by the guy that did, you know, Daddy Cool and stuff, Ross Wilson. And it's I still haven't worked out which song it is, but it's performed by, I'm assuming, his wife, Pat Wilson.
Oh, really?
Performed by Pat Wilson. Yeah, so I haven't even bothered to look into that.
I tried to find as much as I could on Spotify as the credits were rolling. I was like on my phone quickly finding the song and just adding it to the playlist. It's solid. Listen to it. Listeners out there, if you're interested, you got nothing else to do. We know you're in fucking lockdown.
Aussie Cinema Talk playlist, Spotify.
Yeah, that's all you got to look for. Aussie Cinema Talk. Just check it out on Spotify.
We got the takeaway gang, including Kev and all that. Everyone's chipping in. They're all letter dropping. They're all going door to door to the music montage. And there's like some big muscly dude that answers the door with his shirt off. And Kev's like, fair sucker, the Sav, mate.
Put it away.
Don't be showing me that.
Yeah, don't be showing me that.
Then Dave comes over. Dave's the protege for Trev. This is all like the names are very arbitrary too. Like it's really hard to sort of Dave, Trev, Kev, what's going on here?
Yeah. They sound like working names, you know, like when you're writing a script, you just put them in as a placer and you're like, I'll think of something better later.
Sonia and Dave are sort of like getting a crush on, but he goes over to Trev and he's like, mate, say you work with someone, you kind of like them, blah, blah, blah. And it sort of comes off as Dave liking Trev and it's a bit of a, you know, like a little homo dig back there.
There's quite and a few,
and then Steve Curry's like, I've been there, mate. I've playing footy and
in
stuff.
The under 14s.
You go into the showers, you get all steamy, whatever. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then Kev comes over, and Steve Curry and him are reminiscing about the under 14s footy, and then it gets really awkward.
And then he's like, I'm off to go see my wife, and he goes, oh, bloody good girl you got there, yeah, bloody good girl.
Yeah, wives are good. How good are women? Yeah, yes, sweet. It's sort of like it's really like okay, wouldn't fly today.
No, definitely not. And neither would the ending, but we'll get there.
Bloody hell, man.
I did like, I must say, I did like this one line where, because Tony's got this obsession with fridge magnets. He's always going, oh, getting fridge magnets, giving them out, you know, giving out free dim sim vouchers and shit. But he goes, oh, man, you got to get fridge magnets to Trev. And he goes, no, then I'd have to get a fridge. It's not
gag.
The, you know.
Little gag.
You should I did smirk. I smirked at that. But I did, did bust a gut laughing when Trev was blowing like his lips on the clean window on the outside of Tony's shop,
and while he's trying to get a photo or something.
And he goes, that? Oh, no, get your lips off my clean window, you pig. It's just Vince Colosimo's. It's Vince Colosimo's delivery that makes it good. Like,
fish are 100% fish. My Tim Sims are 100% Tim Sims.
The classic gag being that no one knows what's in a fucking dim sim, of course.
Exactly. Colosimo invites everyone around for a planning meeting.
Yeah, strategy. Or Sonya does, don't you?
Strategy meeting to find out what they can do about this Burgies situation opening up. I hope, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're following us along here with the story. Anyway, there's a Burgies. Trev comes around to Vince Colosimo's house with a longy and a plate of nuggets.
Beef nuggets.
Wrapped in bloody saran wrap, or what do you call it? Glad wrap. I brought a plate and I brought a drink. You think it's a bottle of wine, but it's a longy of VB.
That's a pretty good gag.
Later on, there's a cutback to them later on in the evening, and you see all these crownies open, and you just know, like, to just the dynamic of it. It's like Vince Colosimo, he's got some crownies. He doesn't drink them. Like, he's got them for when people come over.
Yeah.
Steve Curry's smashed his longy. Then there's a bunch of empty crownies on his side of the table. Vince Colosimo's got about, like, two, but he's got a bottle of red that he's finished as well.
Attention to detail in this movie. Like, the production designer, the production team, very good attention to detail. I'll give him that. It feels
I worked it out, and they both had roughly about 10 drinks each. They were just, like, that perfect amount of smash.
Yeah. The amount of smash to talk some bullshit about their respective businesses. But we get Nathan Phillips comes in, and he's all done up. And Vince Colosimo's like, oh, are you going out with a cheeky babe or something? Are you? And he goes in, gives him some of his cologne. He's like, nah, dude, she'll love this.
This will drive the chicks mad.
You know what you need? You know what drives the chicks wild? Come with me. Aramis. Oh, no, I've got Trev's Brie 33 on.
Don't worry about it.
Classic sleazy wad character that he seems to always drop
little
in.
Bit there, mate. Little bit there, mate.
A bit there, mate.
A bit there, mate.
She'll all go crazy. She won't be able to control herself. Believe me. I believe it.
So good.
And then, of course, he's going on a date with Rose Byrne, Vince Colosimo's cousin. So he's immediately threatening him. He's like, don't you fucking lay a finger on her. She's too good for you. All that
mate, wash that stuff off, mate. Wash that scent off.
All serious. So like, he plays it so fucking well. And then they go disco bowling, Nathan Phillips and Rose Byrne. And we get, again, this is what made me think it was the fucking 90s, dude. It was so 90s. We get Lash, a fucking band name that I couldn't believe that I was reading. And Rose Byrne has those insane sleeves that weren't attached to anything. That was such a 90s look, like a crop top with sleeves that just bare your shoulders and they don't attach to anything. It's like, I've never seen like anything. I thought that we were totally done with that by the 2000s, but I guess not.
Crazy, hey? Well, it's Dave O'Neill, eh? So he might have been sort of on the cusp of sort of like, what are kids into these days? I don't know, the 90s stuff.
Dave O'Neill doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's up on trends, does he?
No. But this disco bowling montage, man, I don't know whether the point of the montage is trying to establish the fact that this Dave character is like a fucking idiot.
Yeah, he's
man.
A loser.
Like,
he's a real halfwit.
Like he's having, and Rose Byrne's there just like chuckling away. Like, is she new him or not? Like, it was the the other 90s thing about it was where the dumb kid could get the smart girl or whatever.
Yeah, like
the
yeah, cool for girl sure.
It was like crossing over, and the dumb burnout kid was just like, oh, boy, you know. And he's missing pins on the alley. He's like, he's playing the claw machine, can't get the teddy bear out. Rose Byrne like takes over and it's just like, oh, there you go, mate, you can have it.
Even the fact that he took her disco bowling is lame.
Yeah. Oh, I'm taking her somewhere special, he says to Vince Colosimo. Yeah, mate.
And I should also point out, like, he doesn't get away with it as easily. Rose Byrne does have those stupid sleeves, but he's also got that jewelry that's just made out of ball bearings. Remember those necklaces? And
oh, yeah.
They were so popular in the 90s, and they're just the worst.
Oh, dude.
Even the fact that they're drinking Crownies is because, like, when was the last time you saw a Crownie?
Colosimo's character.
Yeah, that was such a popular posher beer. They were a posher kind of option back in, fuck, like, no one drinks Crownies anymore, but they, for ages, they were like, they're the rich man's beer.
They were cranny drinkers, big time.
I'm pretty sure that most people on Sylvanian Waters were drinking them.
Oh, totally. But that's what I mean in this movie, like, that just... the symbology of that was like Vince Colosimo, whenever he's got guests around, he wants to impress them, therefore get the Crownies. He just has them sitting there for a rainy day. Meanwhile, I got ribbed at the bottle for buying VBs because I'm usually buying like nicer beer. And so tonight he was like, what the fuck are you buying that shit for?
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong.
I was like, oh, it's kind of, you know, it's for the diggers, mate, for the diggers.
Oh, yeah. Holy shit. Happy Anzac Day. Damn.
Happy Anzac Day. Is that what you say?
Yeah. I would do a minute silence, but I'm pretty sure because of the lag in the current situation we've got set up here, we've probably done already over a minute silence for the podcast. So
I'm sure we can cut this out. This is the intermission.
So yeah, back to Trev and Tony, they're reminiscing about the 1985, the year that things went bad for them. And it's very, very cheap laughs because it's just them in retro gear. I find that such a cheap way of getting a laugh.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that we're looking at this movie and thinking it's from the 90s, like, how dare they have a dig at, totally, like, a generation before them? Like, yeah, oh, this guy's on roller skates and this guy's like...
He's got a bum back.
He's got a... Yeah.
Meanwhile, Rose Byrne's got sleeves that don't make sense. But yeah, it's weird. Like, Trev smashes Tony's boombox. And I love that. It cuts back to them drinking in his room. And he goes, mate, I paid $149 for that at Brash's.
Brash's, you don't hear that, eh?
Nah, Brash's, man. Fuck, I miss Brash's.
Brash's.
JB just killed all the competition, I guess.
Remember we had HMV and Sanity?
Oh, dude, I used to work for HMV for a period of my life I'd rather forget, but yeah.
Gonski's now.
Yeah, they're dead.
You had a little, had a little dip in the JB pool too.
I did, I've done them all except Brash's. I didn't get to do Brash's.
Oh, man.
But you do still find, you still find Sanities in rural, like, rural shopping centres. You know, like out in Cessnock and places like that, you'll find a Sanity in there.
I heard, I don't know if it's a legend or anything, but I heard there was still a HMV in the Northern Territory somewhere.
Oh. Can you imagine?
It's probably long gone by now.
Can
but
you imagine
like
what an
asshole
the manager of that store would be?
Oh, man.
So it's going to come back one day. It'll come back.
Central. they just, well, it's suggested that they take it up with the head office of Burgies,
right,
and just express their feelings. So this is like, we're still getting nowhere in the movie. Like, someone just goes, take it up with head office. And the pressure turns up. Like, Vince Colosimo is like, no, I've got my magnets, mate, I'll be fine. You know, I'll just keep giving out my magnets. But then this little old lady comes in, and she's the one that he always gives a little bit extra fish for the cat, for a cat. And it's sort of like that's something that comes up in the movie. And then she rocks up and she gives him the cat. She's like, I can't have it anymore because I'm moving out. He's like, what's happening? She's like, the council bought where I live and the Burgie people are taking it over for a parking lot or whatever it is.
Dude.
She's like, I hope they look after my roses.
See a caterpillar track going right over a bed of roses.
Yeah. And so Vince Colosimo is like, something has to be done, you know?
Something has to be
done. Steve Curry, you got to come with me, Steve Curry. Let's go to the head office, you know? And Steve's like, I'm in. So they go.
There's a joke that's really fucking bad, dude, just before that, where they have an encounter with the Burgies manager and his little gimp. And Steve Curry goes, is it just me or is that guy a turd? And then Rose Byrne goes, nah, more of a dick. Terrible.
Real good. Because you're measuring turd against dick, like two things that never should be. Don't pit them up against each other. Like, one's
that's
not.
That's a thank that? God you're here joke, mate. I don't want that in a movie.
Yeah. Dave O'Neill, come on, mate. Was that a Mark O'Toole? Who knows? Probably. Maybe he was like super high. He just thought that was so funny at the time. By the way, I'm playing the Stoner character in the movie.
I can't remember what it was, but they're also because they've got to go into Sydney to meet up with the major manager of Burgies. I'm pretty sure there's a Mardi Gras joke as well. One of them says something about, dude, there's so many hot babes. I've seen them on the telly at Mardi Gras.
That's right. Trev,
and of course, anyone.
Trev says it to Tony.
Yeah. Anyone that's listening, if you don't
Tony
know.
Tony goes, how do you know that? And he goes, oh, saw it on what, Mardi Gras or something.
Yeah. And anyone that doesn't know, Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras is like, yeah, it's gay and lesbian only. Sorry. Sorry, boys.
But Steve Curry, all through the movie, like, is that a joke too? Because he's like, he's riding on the roller skates and stuff. He's just like, everything about him in the old days was camp, and it's like he's trying to cover it up.
Yeah,
now
maybe.
Shop
maybe
in the takeaway
to cover it.
And
up
then, anyway, there's another scene that comes up that suggests it. Oh, I don't know why. It's just weird. There's something weird going on there. They get kicked out of the big burger business building, and then Barry Burger and Freddie Fries show up, just walking up the street in costume.
Oh,
and everything,
they're
with the costumes
like
under
mascots,
their arms,
aren't they? They're mascots for
the mascots. Yeah, like Hamburglar and Grimace and stuff. They're like those two.
Who is your favorite? Let's talk about it. Favorite mascot from Macca's.
Got to be Grimace. Like, what the fuck is he? Why is he? Why is he there advertising stuff?
Yeah, he looks like he's sad.
Is he a tumor that lives inside you?
There's a bloated liver.
And the name Grimace, like, and that suggests like there's a sad. That's the guy's face on the toilet after eating too much Macca's.
Yeah, I'd say Grimace. Although
who's your favorite?
I think the Hamburglar might be mine because his face it's very like kind of it's like he's got a disability or something.
He's got a contract with Macca's, yet he's always still trying to steal the burgers.
Yeah, he's dipping into the till.
Hamburglar.
And Birdie, what the fuck was that about?
Like, don't they, like, nuggets, chicken nuggets? What was she doing there alive?
They put faces on them, but they're, like, living nuggets, and they're made of birds, and she's just there, spruking Macca's. Little Judas bird.
They don't really use them anymore, do they? Well, they're not around.
She's long gone, I think. And also, there's one that's way back from the 80s, Mr. McCheese or whatever, and he's like a posh man, yeah. But his head is a burger.
Well, that's kind of what this burgies guy looks like in the movie, would you say?
So let's get back to that. They see them...
Big burger for a hag.
Mm-hmm. And a packet of chips, a packet of fries.
And who have we got playing Barry Burger?
Mate, it's Brett from Kath and Kim.
Brett. What a... Do you know his name? I can't remember his name right now. Rosenthorn. All right.
Yeah, Peter Rosenthorn, yeah. He's so good, man. He's
why they put? Why did they wasted. Stick him in there like for 5 minutes, 2 minutes in the movie?
He was wasted. You know?
Like,
give him
he rocks
the,
up out.
Give him the role of the manager of the Burgies back in Victoria.
Yeah,
that would be good. He
would kill a little bit
older,
a little more. Yeah.
Speaking of guys that play it straight to great comic effect, Pete Rosenthorn is the best at it. Like, Kath and Kim, he is so good at just behaving like he's a normal guy.
Oh, jeez, Kim, calm down. Yeah.
He's
him interacting with the dog and stuff. So good.
He's the best.
So good. Yeah, they put him in here for 2 minutes. Probably couldn't afford him, man. Maybe Rosenthorn's like, I'll give you 5 minutes. I'm not sticking around for this.
Oh, sorry, I've got a new thing going on. It's Kath and Kim. I'm busy, dude.
So Vince Colosimo bribes them for their costumes.
Oh, this is actually a good line.
Bucks. I've got $2,000. Yeah. Do you want to do the line?
Yeah, he pulls it out and Steve Curry looks at him in disbelief and he goes, what? I'm an Italian with a small business.
There you go, folks.
And I mean, you know, it's a joke and it's a joke as a stereotype and blah, 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 blah. However.
Vince Colosimo says it.
It is still true as well.
Yo.
Like, the corner shop, right? We're in the middle of a COVID-19 pandemic, ladies and gentlemen, a world pandemic. And everyone's gone nuts for fucking hand sanitizer. They're like, please just tap and go. Don't fuck around with, don't touch anything. The cafe at the end of my block, run by an old Mediterranean fella, only cash.
Cash only. Cash only.
Still.
No cash here. Here, no cash.
Another great line.
Man, Colosimo is so good. I've worked with them too. I've worked with the, I don't want to put them in one basket, mate, but I've worked, you know, Italians, Greeks, you know, all that sort of stuff. And, it's, man, them and small business, like money seems to just
hand in glove.
It's crazy. Cash, mate.
But yeah, they
and then so they sneak into the building, and then Bob Jelly. We've got John Howard again, the boss, the
great
big Burgies company,
the great John Howard, and he's so good. He again, another guy that plays it straight to comic effect beautifully. You know, he's just such a presence on screen. I saw him in a play actually a couple of years ago. It was a Chekhov play, and he had his shirt off, and he was drunk, and he was, like, running around the stage, and he was such a spectacle. It was fucking phenomenal, man.
Wow.
Yeah, he's great.
John Howard. And here we have him. He's letting in the mascot slot. Come in, what are you doing here? And they do their little spiel about their small business, and he cuts them down big time. And Steve Curry's like, he could have just told us... Fuck off.
I actually did love that line. I thought that was good because he gets really sarcastic. He's like, yeah, I'll shut down that Burgies and then I'll shut down all the ones across the rest of the world. And he's like, oh, you're being sarcastic. You could have just told us fuck off.
That's what he wanted too, a character like that. Just tell us the fuck off, mate. Don't piss around. they get a cab back home. And then they pull out, and they're still wearing their mascot outfits.
Oh, and at this point, dude, in the back of the cab, I'm just going to big shout out to the production team again. You were clearly working on Love and a Prayer and a fucking hot glue gun because that fucking Chips costume is falling apart.
Oh, they did not muck around. If this was Colosimo Productions, mate, you'd be seeing a different. different production, level of production.
You see a fucking high quality packet of chips costume, man. I'll tell you that much for nothing, man.
We're talking serious fucking Egyptian cotton, mate.
This is where I kind of like, I didn't, this part of the movie, I was still taking notes, but I'd look up and I'd be like, geez, a lot's happened. Because they show up in the cabin in their outfits.
Nothing noteworthy.
But it's weird because a lot happens, but it's not that interesting. It's like there's a fight, but it's shot badly, so you can't actually see who's fighting who really or what's going on. And then Trev goes into sort of like a dreamscape. Where there's like the Klaus Oldenburg kind of giant burger.
Yeah.
He's getting put in a giant burger or something.
He gets made into a burger in like a hellish sequence, you know. And and then Dave, the burger trainee, gets a job with Burgies. You see him like working for the enemy now.
That's right. He's got the gold watch.
Oh, he got suckered in with a gold watch. That's right.
With a chip man.
One of those Burgies. Yeah. And he got it off the gimp and he's like, sir, I've done like so many like overtime shifts for this watch. He's like, I don't give a damn. Like, give it to me. We got to make friends here. You got to be hard in this business. There was a good gag too. I'm not sure if we're up to it yet, but they're like in the Burgies restaurant, the pans across the counter. There's like an 8-year-old kid behind
that,
the counter.
Yeah, that made me laugh, dude. I thought that was a very good gag because they're always, anytime you're going on, that one, smashed. Yeah. And you're like, who the, that kid is like, how old is that kid?
Visual gag. They should have done that. Like, you know, to pass the time in this movie, a lot more visual gags. Like really hone into what's around the takeaway shop. Like, there could be like, he could go to the Dunny, you know, and he's peeling potatoes on the Dunny, and there's like a calendar. There's like a Chico Roll like Babes calendar or something. I don't know. Well, like, make it more visual.
Mr. McCheese nude calendar. Barry Burger, I mean, nude calendar or something. And you know what? Also, because the main guy and his gimp friend, they're not good characters. Like, they don't have, you know, they're not memorable, really. So why not just fuck that off and just make more of a joke? So it's like he's, you know, make a bigger joke about the McDonald's sort of like underling thing. So have one guy who has an assistant, who has an assistant, who has an assistant, who has an assistant, and they get younger and younger as you go down, you know? Something like that would have been funny.
Like, just like keep cutting away to new. That's it.
Because it doesn't matter.
Don't focus on the two guys, but like have it like a chain down. Oh, that'd be great.
And make more fun out of the procedure. I mean, like, you and I never worked at a fast food chain like Macca's or KFC or anything like that. But, you know, it's well known that they have really, really boring protocol and stuff like that. And they, you know, they force their staff to, you know, really love the company and all that sort of stuff. So instead of doing
to the point where they almost become like robotronic in their mannerisms and stuff. So when you go up and talk to them, it's just like, sorry, sir, like due to this policy, we've got a blah, blah. They've always got like a robotronic response to everything and stuff like that. Like play up on that, how it's like this weird sort of entity. It's,
absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, make their education to join the business really boring as well. You know, that all that stuff is great. I think that could have really helped this movie. Wouldn't have saved it, but
Burgies just didn't seem like too much of a threat too. Like, it's just the movie didn't sort of convince you that this is like, oh man, hectic. Like, it was just really sort of cheap and reminds you of like a high school concert, you know, with the props and everything like that.
Yes, absolutely. I think the director,
couple of mums have come together to make this.
Yeah. The director, what's his name? Mark Gracie. He did a lot of Full Frontal and, you know, those kind of shows. So I think he's not the right guy to direct a film.
Yeah.
Like, he's more of a skit man. So get somebody who's like gonna lurch into getting into the Dutch angles and all that stuff. Get like really, you know, we want a low shot of the Burgies restaurant to look up at it, make it look threatening, all that sort of stuff. But instead he's shooting.
Having like even like zoom out from the suburb to like the local area and you see like the Burgies like They're everywhere. They're perfect. Like scattered. It's like dan dan dan.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be so good. Just, you know, Vince Colosimo. This is another gag they totally miss. Vince Colosimo coming to his car and he's got flies in his windscreen wipers for burgies, and it pisses him off. You know.
Yeah. Or if you're gonna go down his like ethnic boulevard, like get him to, I'm gonna call my mates, and he does this thing where he like calls his mates and they call their mates and they go, you know, blah, 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 blah. He's, you know, because they've always got hookups, you know, hookups, mate.
Yeah.
Let me call my mates, and they all like boycott the burgers everywhere.
Or like Vince Colosimo does like a publicity stunt where he does like a live DJ set in his fish and chip shop. In an Adidas tracksuit, you know, with some gold chains. There you go.
I don't think you can get Vince to do it, mate. You want me to play this straight, right? I can't do that. I'm sorry. That's just too wacky for me.
Look, man, I've just got a script called The Wog Boy. I am not touching that, man. I'm not doing that character for cheap.
I'm getting out of the skid house. I'm doing full feature films, man. I'm taking this serious, all right? I'm talking serious fucking cash.
Oh, this is kind of about the area that we get the Trev and Tony's dad's big reveal.
That's it.
Where you find out.
Sonia, like, confronts him. She's like, come on, Tony. Like, your dad and, like, his dad were mates or whatever.
Why can't you see past it? All that shit. And then you find out that they actually broke up. Because, and this is quite an interesting reason to break up, because it is a contention. One of them thought that pineapple and beetroot were add-ons and should cost more, and the other one thought they should be part of the burger. Now, what's your take on
this? On a burger with the works. If you're going to call it a burger with the works, you're paying for it. You're paying for it already.
I agree.
You're not getting a regular hamburger. You're not saying regular hamburger plus pineapple plus beetroot. You're saying with the works. It's just like it's.
Yeah, I agree.
That's it. So I don't know. It was probably Colosimo's grandfather.
Cash dad.
Gotta make a buck, man.
Dude, if we charge 50 cents extra for every burger that comes with a little bit of beetroot and a little bit of pineapple, man, we've made a fortune there, bro.
I remember my two mates, their dads were friends as well, and they used to go to this Chinese restaurant all the time, and they stopped going because the guy was like charging a little bit extra for chili sauce or something. Like he had to up it by 50 cents or whatever. And the guy's like, nah, I'm not doing that. That's like a commodity for this sort of food, blah, blah, blah. Kicked up this huge stink and got out of there. I'm like, give the 50 cents, like, you know, come on. Rising economy, everything like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Dude, small businesses, they're doing it tough. I agree. Like, I think that those
You can tell the ones that need it and the ones that don't need it.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. Easily, very easily, you can tell. And if you're in a, like, good-looking restaurant with a menu that is quite pricey and they go, oh, 50 cents extra for a bit of chili on the side, you're like, all right, no, I'm not paying that. Fuck you. No, but if you're in a fucking, you know, a high street Chinese shop and they're like, oh, it's a little bit of chili oil, that's going to be 50 cents on the bill, you're like, yeah, all right, no worries. Hopefully that does something, you know.
They're probably infusing that stuff themselves, you know.
Oh, guaranteed.
Making all the chili oil, homemade chili oil. I think we like food more than we like this movie, man. Just like reminiscing.
I must admit, the whole time I was watching this, all I could think about was, like, past experiences with quality takeaway shops.
Good takeaways. You know, the stuff that you talk about with your mates, you wouldn't just, you know, before even Facebook, you couldn't post it. You'd just be like, mate, is this sick fish and chip shop. You go down Blue Haven, man, you got to walk around the cliffs and stuff from Forreys and blah, blah, blah. It takes you half an hour. You get there, get a double burger with the works and chips for 10 bucks with a 600ml Coke. Oh, shit, you not, mate.
Discs, fill that cheap up. As hell. Or like when remember the first time you ever heard one of your mates tell you about a halal snack pack?
The open, yeah, mate.
The open kebab halal. And you're like, halal, all right, hello. Like, yeah, it's those little...
I still got the mixed kebab. Mine's always wrapped up.
I do that too, dude. Because, like, usually you'll sort of have half of it. You chuck it in the fridge in the morning, you're like kind of... graze on the arse end of it and then chuck it in the bin.
The wrap gives it the option of, you know, transport or the option of like handheld eating or just unravel it later.
You can discreetly nibble on it in the back of a taxi or an Uber or whatever.
Oh, mate, you're a daredevil. I avoid the confrontation. No eating in the back. And you go, oh, I don't want to talk to that guy.
I mean, if you're in there with a lot of other people and you're really hungry, then you might go, oh, I'll just have a little taste of that.
Oh, a little bit of taste, a little bit of nibble. Oh, God. Oh, there's Noel. What did you call him? Maybe it's not Noel, the butcher. He's off to work.
Okay, it's Dave O'Neill, but I can't remember the... Oh, Mal. Dave it's O'Neill. Mal.
Mal. He's leasing up the shop. He's getting out of there, closing the business.
Getting a job at Coles or Woolies or something.
Yeah, it's like everyone just buys their meat in the supermarket. And they're like, what are you going to do? And he's like, well, I got a job at the supermarket, didn't I? And it's like, he doesn't even give a shit. It's not even like a sad thing for him.
Yeah, so, which is weird because he's like closing up his small business.
Again, it takes the heart away from the other two who are struggling. Like their fish and chip shop is their livelihood. And then the butcher's like, just I don't give a shit, man. I just go work for the supermarket, sell out, you know? Like, it just on. I don't know, it doesn't drive the point home. And it's Dave O'Neill too. Maybe he doesn't give a shit. He's just like, oh. Got to come up with a movie idea.
Yeah, I'm writing on something called The Nugget at the moment, actually. Good mate of mine, Eric Banner.
Find this big nugget.
He actually used to be...
Based on true story?
Dave O'Neill used to be in a really funny sketch on the Eric Banner show. I'm pretty sure it was Eric Banner or McAuliffe program, where he was a really disgusting housemate. Like, he was a hipster before we really knew what hipsters were. And he'd be like, I can't believe this. This tastes so good. And then he'd just be, like, walking through the back of the scene eating out of a cat food tin or something, but he was really funny in it. Like there was only like three sketches of it, but he was always in them, and he was so good.
Hey, it's got to be a certain climate for Dave O'Neill, I guess. Eric Banner, didn't he get out of that whole little?
Oh, he mate.
Just shot right out of there,
right
didn't he?
Right off to working with what's his name? Fucking Freaks and Geeks guy on that Funny People movie.
Paul Feig.
Apatow. Yeah. He's in that. I haven't seen it yet, but yeah, Funny People. He's in that.
Wow. Mate. And then the two dudes from, I know we're getting off track here, mate. We can always cut this.
We can edit this.
The dudes from Recovery that ended up writing Saw and then fucking just breaking out of that,
Yeah.
Fucking insane.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny, hey, how they just sort of launch off. Like, I mean, those guys at least took Angus Sampson with them, you know, that guy.
Yeah. But they leave so many behind,
oh,
hey?
So many.
Like, imagine being...
Dylan.
like, like everyone thought Rove was doing well, man, but still Rove in, like, this fucking comedy club doing a like a live Q&A with John Lovitz and stuff.
Oh, no.
And it just looked really bad and sort of like, oh.
Not even going back to stand-up roots, doing an interview with John Lovitz.
Well, this was before Rove like came back to Australia and tried to reboot his show and then failed on that. Like, he was taking writing courses and stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
no.
Rove was, he was trying to do homework, man.
Damn,
terrible.
Dude.
And John Lovitz, like, you don't see him anymore, do you?
You know that Lee Whannell and the other guy would have just been like, look, man, you can sleep in one of our houses, just stay there, but just for 1 week, dude, and then you got to go back to New South Wales, dude. We can't have you here, dude.
Yeah.
You're going to stink up Hollywood.
What was wrong with Rove? It was your own show, mate.
Say hi to your mum for me. Remember that?
Yeah, what the? Hey, that was a good segment.
Remember,
mate?
I used to Remember, I used to always get out my WWF toys and I'd play with them sometimes.
You launched Carl Barron, remember? He's known for doing the same jokes for the rest of his life. Rove.
Yeah, dude, fuck, poor Rove guy. In LA. Fuck, that sounds like a really dark, sad documentary needs to be made.
Yeah.
Rove in LA. Rove.
Well, Belinda Emmett died, like, oh, and then he was like still doing Rove, being happy. And then there was those people like, why is Rove so happy? His wife fucking died.
Oh, man. Yeah, he copped it pretty bad in the press. They were like, oh, I saw him out on a date. And it's like, yeah, dude, it's been a year and a half. And he's like, yeah, maybe he's going to go on a date. And it's like, fuck, his wife died a year and a half.
Maybe his wife had some private words to him saying, like, Rove, like, get out there if you can, mate. Like, yeah, if someone else throws you a bone like I did, take it, mate, take it.
Listen, Rove, I was only doing this out of sympathy. So anyone at all, anyone, Rove.
take it, Rove, take it.
Oh, damn. Oh, actually, while we're talking about Rove and all those guys, actually, there was a really good doco on the ABC. It's probably still on iView, if you want to see it, about the history of recovery.
Yeah. So, no. Oh.
It's good, eh?
Soros. Yeah, really good. Really good. How's that, you know, that Dylan guy? He won the Celebrity Big Brother and stuff as well. Like, he's
that Celebrity Big Brother. They
didn't,
was tough
didn't
to
do
watch.
Enough with him. Someone should have taken him on a journey.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's got good comedic chops. I remember seeing him in a Tropfest film, and it was like a monologue, him talking over the top of it, and it was him about some old lady bringing in a parrot. He was a vet, and they were bringing in a parrot to euthanize it, and he had to lie to her about how they disposed of the body, and he was like, oh, we do a really nice job, and we bury them, and we put roses and shit, and then they just put it in a bin. And so he had to make a fake grave out the back, and she'd come and mourn her dead parrot or whatever. And it was a good little short movie, and he did really well in it. I thought it was a really tight little short film. But, yeah, he never seemed to get much acting work after that.
Poor Dylan, mate.
Oh, he's totally loaded, man.
I reckon people get cut off, you know. Like one bad meeting, if you piss off the wrong person, I reckon that's it.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're right. I guess we should get back to this Burgies movie.
Yeah, all right, Gimp, we got work to do.
so we find out that they break up over the pineapple and beetroot scenario. Then they go back to Burgies while Tony samples some of the Burgies food on his own in his own restaurant, and it all looks really shit.
Dissects it and
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, sniffs it and everything. But it's just sort of like, that scene went on for too long, and we don't need it, you know? I mean, here we are, like, digressing at it every chance we get in this podcast, but...
No, and wasn't it cutting back to, like, something arbitrary that Steve Curry was doing as well? Like, it was just like, it'd go from this, go to that, and it's like, what? You know,
yeah, it kept cutting back to Steve Curry trying to come up with another strategy to take down Burgies. but it's just a bit slow. And then, what's his name? Kev, he's already in the Burgies eating chips. And so he's like, oh, you traitor, you're eating the chips from here.
That's right. He's like, Trev walks in, finds Kev in there, and also Dave is working there as well, so his life's gone belly up. And then he finds out, like the sauce that boils him is they've got beef nuggets on the menu.
They ripped him off, that's right.
That's his idea, but he hasn't got the patent or anything, so he's like, he's stuffed. all right, but Trev's got an idea. So there's a meetup at his now, not Tony's. It's a meetup at Trev's, and Trev's got like the dimly lit room, like the little, you know, sort of poker light that comes sitting on the round table. It's like, here's what we're going to do. Right, we've got an informant, and there's a guy over in the corner, like all shadowed and stuff. Turns out to be Dave wearing a paper bag. A few gags about him sort of just, you know, giving himself away and things like that, you know.
that whole thing was very much a skit house. That you could see that was a skit house sketch, that whole thing about the...
They're all skits. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not scenes, they're skits. Tony's not keen, though. Tony's like, I'm out. Sounds like a bad idea. And I've actually written down, could almost be a drinking game every time you see a VB somewhere in the shot, or like if someone's like drinking something, because there's so many little beer references and stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
I got to this point in the movie where I've written down, I think Vince Colosimo is my favorite, because he was the only, even just him like looking at the burgies and stuff and going through the chips and stuff. I'm like, yeah, you are so
it was
good
a really
acting.
Engaging
so
scene,
good, man,
and
right?
I can see why they left it in, because Vince Colosimo made it so good, but the whole movie was just such a train wreck that it was like, yeah, you're just leaning on him now. To make your movie interesting. Because I watched him, like, you know, I watched him and it was like, it was weird. It was like he could really convey his distaste for this restaurant by the way he went, picked apart that meal. But it was just, when it was over, I was like, oh, that scene didn't really help at all, because it's like, I know he doesn't like their food, you know?
That's it. And then that's what drives him to help the others out, like in their devious plot, which you find out, like, this is it. This is like the end of the movie, man, pretty much. This is the roller coaster. This is the peak. And like now that the thing's rolling down, their big idea is to get Kev's tow truck, strap the whole Burgies restaurant up, and then just like rip it out of its foundations. And so they managed to do that. I'm sorry if there's anything you want to talk about in between.
No, go for it, dude.
There's bloody scenes where they're breaking in and stuff and turning on the lights. Do you want me to turn on the lights? Turn the lights on.
Do you want a Fanta?
Oh, my God. And then, yeah, so basically they just strap the fucking restaurant up and they drive it down the street. Dawn comes, like, you know, all the Burgies people are rocking up to work, like, oh, oh, what's going on? Everyone's like, you know, Dave Arnell's out there smoking a cigarette going, oh, yeah, check it out. Yeah, it's just like one of those big, it's supposed to be a big movie climax, and they drive the Burgies restaurant to the tip. It gets crushed. They get arrested. They go to prison. And then you got a voiceover by Dave. The whole thing's like narrated by Dave. He's like, well, you know, things turned out all right because Tony and Trev, well, they bought a business together and now they're, you know, blah, blah, blah. It was good for the police to let them out for the day so they could open the restaurant. And we're working there, me and Sonia. And I guess we're working something out too, sort of like a business proposal. And it's like,
I wonder if Rose Byrne was just like, look, I'll do your movie as long as I don't have to kiss that guy. Because we don't even get that. Like, we never get that. They go on a date and we never get any romance with them. And they don't have chemistry, the actors. So it's
like... No. There's nothing going on there. It's just sort of like, oh, what is it?
But then it cuts to Trev and Tony in jail. And they're wearing orange jumpsuits, which is not... We don't have that here. We've got army green jumpsuits. So I don't know why they did that. Maybe for the international audience, they thought they'd
international
have.
International market, of course.
But yeah, they're in jail, and there's like an echoing of a scene that happened earlier where Tony was asking him what he wants for breakfast, and he's trying to read the Gideon's Bible that's on the bedside table.
Throwback gag, yeah.
Throwback gag. And then we get... Kev come in, the tow truck driver, of course, has gone to jail as well, and he's going around with books on a trolley. And then these two bulky, psycho-looking prisoners come in, and they're like, oh, these are your new bunkmates. And they're like, oh, we're fucked.
That's us fucked. Steve Curry says that all through the movie, and then it's like the last time he says it is literal. Again, it's like a comedian's setup joke, and it's like, you get it at the end, but it's like, that's not powerful enough for a movie. That's powerful enough for a callback when you're doing stand-up, buddy. But like, to have it
stand-up
like,
in a pub, by the
that's
way.
That's us. Yeah, that's us. Fuck them. They're in prison. Oh, shit, and man. Like, what a way to end the movie.
Also, we don't know whether or not Stephen Curry is actually gay in this film. Because there's all those... Maybe it's a happy ending. Maybe it's a sad ending. Who knows?
Oh, and you find out Bob Jelly, like, like makes the decision to provide burgies to all correctional facilities. So they're in there and they've got to eat burgies themselves
for the rest of their fucking life or whatever. Yeah. So that's the damn end. And then the credits roll to some other fucking song from the 90s, even though it was 2003.
Yeah, and then the Takeaway remix when the credits roll. Do you remember that?
Yes.
It's like, Sir wants Takeaway.
Unfortunately, that one's not on Spotify, so that's not going to be in our playlist.
Isn't it? No, I'll rip it, man. I'll rip it and I'll send it to you for sure. We've got to get this Takeaway remix in there. It won't be on the playlist, but it will be in this episode, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go. Thank you, Tim.
There's a song called Bob Girl. That was the one written by Ross Wilson, performed by Pat Wilson. And Mushroom Music, they're all over this, mate. They did so much for him.
Are they still around, Mushroom?
I don't know. You don't hear about them much, man. They were really good. Like 70s, 80s.
Even through the 90s, they owned a lot of Australian, you know, guitar rock bands and stuff.
Really cool. But, yeah, not so you don't hear about them anymore. I guess there's so many other labels and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of international labels would, like, you know, pick up, you know, good performers now. Australia really doesn't.
Did you notice that Dave O'Neill did a special thanks to Foster's and Fisherman's Delight and McCain Foods.
McCain, you've done it again.
Yeah, probably to show he's like, hey, could you guys like be the, you know, the shit food that we show everyone? Like when Vince Colosimo's going through all the chips and stuff, can it be yours? And McCain's like, sure, mate. Sure.
Whatever, as long as you give us a shout out.
Yeah. Special thanks to Foster's Group, Fisherman's Delight, McCain's Food.
That's good. I did enjoy
that. There you have it. There you have it, guys.
That's the fucking takeaway. Film. That's Takeaway, guys. Geez, if you want to watch it, I watched it on Stan. Tim obviously has the DVD. I last saw that in the JB throwout pile for $6.99, so you can buy it there if you'd like a hard copy. Geez, I think that's about it. What else have I got to spruik? Obviously, our playlist. You can get that.
Did you do anything for, did we do the year? What was it?
Like 2003? No, I didn't. I was 1 year out of high school. I didn't do the year in review thing.
Oh, mate. Well,
drop the ball.
I'm sure it was good times though. 1 year out of high school. I was in high school thinking Takeaway was the shit, man. Yeah. So must've been tough times.
You got businessmen buying lots of shares in sleeves that don't attach to anything and ball bearing jewelry.
I'm Italian. I've got a small business, mate.
Before we wrap it up, I would like to give a shout out to. Actually, you know what? You can also find us. Do the fucking social media shout out. / Aussie Cinema Talk. Facebook, Aussie Cinema Talk. Or AU Cinema Talk on Twitter.
AU's. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also I'd love to give a shout out to J-Cats, who I mentioned when we did the Sons of Steel episode, who used to host all the cult cinema nights. He and his wife Asper are running their, you know, obviously the COVID virus has shut down all the pubs, so they can't do the movies anymore. So now they're running their own podcast that's called The Naked World. I really strongly suggest you check it out. It's great stuff. And if you haven't been affected financially by this virus, join their Patreon, because you can see on every Friday night from 9 p.m. till late, J-Cats does live DJ sets.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, he plays all this kind of weird music, you know, he sets his house up to look like a cool, weird underground disco. Yeah, so check it out. If anything, just give him a download and spread the word. And also spread the word about us. Spread the word about us.
Aussie Cinema Talk. Oh, well, that's it from us. You've been listening to another episode of Aussie Cinema Talk with me, Tim.
And me, Dom. Yes, indeed. Catch you next time. After the virus. See you, Tim. You are out of control. Take away. Make it into burgers. Make it into burgers. That's up. Take away. I'll give you. You are out of control.
control it.
You make me laugh, boy.
You're a dick. Bullshit you, mate. When I can have it.